Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony K in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone, worldwide. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or have a great idea for a weekly show, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow the links we provide at artistsfirst.com. This hour, it's my privilege to introduce Willie Bruce and Kim Robinson, authors of The Kings of Credit. To learn more about our guests and their book, visit the website www.kim-robinson.com. Questions or comments during the broadcast? Send them to dj@artistsfirst.com. We'd love to read them during the broadcast. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guest. It's Willie Bruce and Kim Robinson. How you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. And yourself?
Thanks a lot for joining us and for supporting the arts on the Artist First Radio. We've been at this since 1996. We've had thousands and thousands of guests on our airways. Thank you for joining their ranks. And Kim, I believe you've been on Artist First in the past.
I've been on Artist First several times.
Yes, yes. And thank you for coming back to join us with, a sequel to your book, The Roux is in the Gumbo, about
it's
your...
The third sequel, actually.
My. Congratulations on your writing career. And audience, you can learn all the details about the books at kim-robinson.com. Willie Bruce, you are Kim Robinson's uncle, so
yes,
very, very familiar then with your great-grandmother and your grandmother and the history revolving around the roux in the gumbo, their story, their heritage. And what gave you the inspiration, Willie, to join forces with Kim on this topic and continue the series with her in The Kings of Credit?
Well, when I first got incarcerated back in 1989, I read a book by Brother Cody Scott. It was called Monster. And that was I read that book around 1993. And I knew that if he can write a good story, then I knew I had a story to write. You know, because I kind of grew up with him. His neighborhood was right near mine. And then years later, my niece came out with a book, and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my calling.
Wow. So it was after you were back out, a free man, you served your sentence that you decided to write, or were you beginning this process while you were still serving out that sentence?
Well, actually, during the time of my incarceration ship is when I started. You know, I had all the time
wow.
in the world. You know, so it was either go out to the yard and work out and come back and do nothing, so... You know, I wanted to stay physically fit, so I went out and worked out and then came back in and started my writing. And I found it to be a way that I can easily kill some of the time.
Now, Willie, were you using pen and paper, writing it out longhand? Or what was your technique? Did you have a sense, did you outline what you would be writing, or did it just flow naturally for you?
Well, The Kings of Credit, for one, I've been working on that for years, and I've written about five different drafts of that, but that started just on pen and paper, you know.
Five drafts, and years later, here we are. You are now a published author. You've joined forces with your niece, and congratulations to both of you. Praise God. The Lord works in mysterious and wonderful ways, and
yes,
I know that this is an answer to many prayers from your great-grandmother back for her family and future generations.
Okay, so, you have to know that the book is his grandmother and his mother's. Yes.
Grandmother and mother. Thank you,
he's
Kim.
He's the youngest child of my grandmother. And she had him when she was in her 50s.
Actually, she was 43 years old when she had him.
Oh, okay.
43.
Okay.
Yes. Well,
now,
God bless her. You know, come on.
One of those late blessings.
I had barely made it because I was a cesarean.
You
know, remember, my mother had a set of twins before me.
Yeah,
they hadn't perfected the cesarean technique yet.
So, oh, my.
You know, so she, you know, they passed away. And then she said, you know, when I came about that, she wasn't going to lose any more children. So she went on and had a C-section, you know, and I went through a lot of trauma during my birth.
Willie Bruce, Kim Robinson, I commend both of you in working together and as developing your own skills as authors, obviously your own voice, right, approach to the material and so forth, and yet somehow you were able, through the grace of God, to get along long enough not to strangle each other.
Oh, that's not a problem. He's in California and I'm in Texas. I can't reach him.
But it's hard. You know, I nicknamed her the warden.
Yeah, okay. Now
if
we're getting to it.
I could reach out, I might strangle him a couple of times.
Now we're getting to it.
Seriously, I think that our combined writing has made my writing better, and his writing has grown, you know, with us combining, because when he first gave it to me, he had typed it out. I'm also working on some other books. We're starting a company called Penned in the Pen, too, where we help our incarcerated relatives get their books out. And it's these long sheets of yellow paper, and I'm reading them into the computer through the Dragon program and then going back and correcting it and everything.
Kim, what a great idea and a wonderful service. How many that have been incarcerated who really are good-hearted, wonderful people, find God, want their lives to be better, improved, they get out, and they don't have a chance, but they have a story.
We're going to give them something other than drugs and guns to sell.
Yeah.
We're going to put some books in their hands and put them on the corner with some books.
Exactly.
They're obviously from the preponderance of television, movies, and TV sitcom, there have been so much, you know someone. We all know someone.
Everybody knows somebody that's been locked up.
That's right. That's
for
right.
For one reason or another.
For one reason or another.
I know so many.
And, you know, you may have popped a guy, and that got you a short time, and while you were there, you popped
somebody else.
Got you a longer time, and, you know, what starts off is not so bad can escalate into real bad real quick.
Right.
And therein is the stories that can be written, and good ones, too, morals to be learned, you know, things that we can avoid in life and appreciate in life.
And I think that when they're hearing it from somebody who's actually been through it, rather than somebody who maybe just watched a movie or something like that, somebody who's actually lived it, I think that makes a big difference.
It really does. If you didn't hear, we had Amanda Brooks on, her third book in her series of 10.
I listened to her.
And Amanda,
I can't wait to see her dressed up in the horse and leather and all that.
She is a doll and just a fabulous author. But you heard her tell the story about, I did my own editorial work this time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what happens when you're...
Well, that's hard to do.
Yes.
To me. I can't do it.
And to stretch yourself. You know, you two are having a vision of where this can go, forming another company, how you can get other stories out there to the public while you're promoting, of course, your own book. So congratulations on having a big vision for your family and certainly a compliment to your earlier and generations yet to come. So congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
What fun. And Willie, your wife, she was so excited about trying to listen. I hope she found internet connection someplace. So,
yeah, well, she took the phone with her, and, you know, I know she's trying her best.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that this will be recorded so she can hear it.
Oh, it will. And exactly. That's the great thing about our method. I'd like to welcome all of our listeners in Afghanistan, Iraq, all over Europe, worldwide, 254 nations. Thank you for tuning in this evening to Authors First with Tony
Kaye. I need some help with some book reviews on Amazon because they're buying the book, but they're not reviewing it, and I need some reviews.
Well, there you go. And that's important. You know,
it is.
I think that authors who have reviews do much better. And certainly you want other authors, you want other publishers, you need people who do reviews. There are professional mm-hmm. people who do book reviews, you know. You can go to the Google up there. I love Google.
You
I'm
know,
sure there
I
are other search engines. But
having I do know review. That I can pay people to review my book, but
yeah, we don't want to do that.
The Roo and the Gumbo has 16 reviews, and none of them I did not pay for one.
That is a tremendous compliment.
And 9 of them are 5 stars, so I'm happy. You know, I just feel like I shouldn't have to pay somebody to say what they thought about my book. If I pay you, how are you going to be biased?
I agree.
Now, Willie, the question begs itself, do you need to have read Kim's book to have a better appreciation of the Kings of Credit, or do they stand alone?
Well, you know, I believe that once you read The Roo and the Gumbo, you know, then you'll get a family history of exactly where I came from and what I went through in my life, you know, coming from, well, my family. You know, I don't know how to
very,
describe it.
Very interesting group of people. Very colorful.
Very.
A writer's dream.
I learned from a long line of gangsters and hustlers.
Exactly. About it. You know, and my mother was the strongest gangster I ever met in my life.
Yeah.
But the most loving woman in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
But I do believe that his book stands on its own. Actually, I find that his book... My first cut, my first edit on my book, it looked like somebody bled on it. The woman told me, you got a good story, but you can't write to write yourself out of a paper bag. So I grew, because The Roo and the Gumbo came out in 2005. So I've also got Street Life to Housewife, which is part of my life story. And part 2's coming out in a couple of months. But the Kings of Credit, the writing, it was like when I started reading it, the writing was amazing to me, and there wasn't a whole lot of editing to be done.
Well, you know, I've been writing in like 20 years now.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Willie, this is your 5th draft.
I guess
God bless both of you.
I think it stands on its own. I think it could stand on its own, but I do think that if you go and read the... What's happening is people who are reading The Kings of Credit are going back and buying...
And The Roo and the Gumbo.
The Roo and the Gumbo and Street Life to Housewife.
Oh, boy. Well, that's how it snowballs, you know? And then they're like, well, when's the next one coming out? When's the next one coming out? You know?
I've got a lot of those questions already from different people.
Do you think that you'll collaborate on a book together, even though you're
going to collaborate
without a doubt?
You're gonna share chapters or sections, or have you thought a strategy for that type
of
collaboration?
He's got a whole section in my Street Life to Housewife Part 2.
Yeah, I just sent that to you last night.
Yeah, he's got a whole section in that book, and that's why I'm gonna put his name on the front cover.
Oh, what fun!
Like he put my name on the front cover of his book. With my help, so we're going to keep it going.
Absolutely. Now, Willie, you've been writing for a long time and struggling with finding that voice of yours, but you had your hook in the topic that was near and dear to your heart. You were able to reflect on memories of the past, of your childhood, of your family, and really... focus. You had time to focus and quality time to focus. How did the transitioning into public life alter or influence your writing ability? Did it help any or not?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I always wanted to be a star. You know, so hopefully one day I can accomplish that goal, and you know, be able to contribute to society and help, you know, people in need. You know, but the first time I ever put the pen to the paper, you know, I just wanted to tell my story, you know, of what I have going on. And once they purchase the Kings of Credit, you know, it starts off in a dream, right? And then it gets into some other stuff. I let them read the book.
right? But when we get to the actual, you know, because I used to clean credit back in the days, you know, and I actually did a little time for doing that. So that's what I'm telling this story about, you know, and it's something that I would never get into again. So once they read the story, you know, they'll become intrigued, but then they'll say, well, okay, well, I can't do that. Because I'll end up where
you know. Yeah, that's right.
But then, you know, you got some of those hard heads that's going to be like, oh, he gave up the whole game, so we're going to do, I can go do this, you know.
Well, they'll find out the hard way.
Yeah, they will, and they'll be writing to you saying, dang, why didn't I listen?
Exactly.
Now, both of you obviously were separated by time and space and so forth. How did you come to reacquaint yourselves with each other, and what was going on at that time?
Well, phone calls every now and then, every year or so, he'd give me a phone call. And,
collect calls were driving you crazy.
Yeah, them collect calls, trying to get in touch with his wife and... Oh, boy, me and my husband had some fights over those phone bills. But through the family and everything, and then when my books came out, I sent him I sent him one of the old covers because there's a new cover on The Ruin of Gumbo now, but I sent him the book while he was incarcerated. And that's when we started talking about putting some things together and getting some books published.
Yeah, I cried for days, too.
I would imagine.
Days. You know, it hit, The Ruin of Gumbo really hit me, you know, because I found out a lot about my family that I didn't know, you know. And, so I immediately called Kim and voiced my opinion, you know. And
he
then,
got mad. He was like, did you have to be so graphic about my mother?
Yeah. You know, but I had let her know that, that I had some books that I had written, you know. So I have a whole, I think I got about 7 books that's coming through Kim's publishing.
Yeah. You know, it is, you know, life takes us in lots of directions, and authors come to their topic from hopefully a direction that they feel passionate about. And both of your cases, this was something that you felt compelled to want to write about and share.
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, I've been writing a long time, and I have so many stories. It seemed like just when I put the pen to the paper, you know, everything just flows. I think I have that gift. You know, and it's my
See,
book
the
is
thing with about him, he could put pen to paper. Me, when I started writing in 1993, I was on the computer. If I had to write pen to paper, you know, I had to take my hat off to him and my cousins and all the other people I'm working with who are writing on those yellow.
Yeah, longhand writing it out. Yeah, that's what I use. That's Tony K.
Because there is no way, if it wasn't for the computer, I would not be a writer today.
Well, you know, I do everything on the computer now, but that was the only choice I had because, you know, in the joint, you don't have computers.
Well, I'm bad. I write it out on a pad first, and then I enter it in the computer.
Well, since I've been, you know, getting computer literate, you know, I've been just strictly just focusing on the computer.
Yeah.
When I get an idea, I'll sit down and type it out, and I'll send it to her, and she'll verse her opinion on it.
Willie Bruce, Kim Robinson, our guest on the Artist First Radio Network, Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. Be sure to follow the link we've provided. When you get to artistfirst.com, it's a big page. There's a lot of content. Over 4,000 hours available free on demand. Just keep scrolling down. And then I think when you see Ben Vereen, you're in the zone and you'll see Willie Bruce and Kim Robinson, the title of the book, Kings of Credit, and the link that takes you to Kim Robinson's website.
Also, Willie's going to have a... website www.williebrucejr.com.
Oh, boy. Email that to dj@artistfirst.com, Kim, and I'll make sure that gets included with the archive. And audience, isn't that awesome? The archive. Look, you like the author. You enjoy what you're hearing. Share it with everyone on the World Wide Web. Let's get the message out there on your social network sites, Facebook, and so forth. Let them know about this family book, a passionate book, something that I like series. I think that that people enjoy reading and staying in the zone on target with characters. So you two have a winning combination.
Thank you.
Well, I think I love reading sequels to books, so I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, what fun. And now, is there another one? I thought I heard, maybe you let it slip. Was
there something? Street Life to Housewife Part 2 is coming out. And then I've got an 8-book series called G-Mama that I'm working on. And you know how every neighborhood has that old lady that gets in everybody's business? Well, we got one of those. And she kind of reminds me of my grandmother, but she also got a lot of street life in her, you know, first hand, you know, because she had to take care of her family when her parents died. But G-Mama is going to be a hot series, you know.
What fun. Where do you come up with these
and
names?
Right now, me and Willie are working on Tit for Tat. Actually, in my dreams, mine come in my dreams. I don't know where Willie got Tit for Tat and the King's Credit from, but they fit. They fit, and the book cover is awesome.
Yeah, that
Scott
one came
Carpenter. From... Scott Carpenter did a great job.
Oh, outstanding, outstanding. I take my hat off to him.
And that's what it takes to have a package today. You know, everyone's out on the World Wide Web. You know, you better stand out. You've got to be a cut above. And you've hit all the marks, Willie Bruce, Kim Robinson. Congratulations. A fantastic total package. You've gotten better at this, right, Kim? Didn't you say you started in 96?
93.
Or 93.
Actually,
you know,
I was pregnant with my son, who is now 19.
It takes some time to develop your...
Well, I was with 3 publishers before that, and, you know, I got kind of tired of getting these little bitty checks, so I figured... I talked to some people who self-published, and I started self-publishing myself. And my checks look a whole lot better to me now.
Yeah, why not? You're doing all the work anyway. You know, and people want it. Now, people want things on demand. Hey, I forgot to ask. The Kings of Credit and your other books, are they available as e-books yet?
Kindles.
Yeah, okay. Kindle. That's very affordable.
And every place else that Lightning Source offers them, they are out there, yes. And they are doing, oh, wow, the Ruin the Gumbo is blowing up. Even putting it out there to promote the Kings of Credit, I think, is making the Ruin the Gumbo blow up. Because people are going back and buying the Ruin the Gumbo and Street Life to Housewife, which was... Once I got 2 books, I started, you know, I always go somewhere. I always got a book in my hand. I don't care where I am. I could be in the post office. I see somebody reading. I'm like, here, check this out. Before I know it, I'm walking out. Instead of with the book, I'm walking out with their money. So I'm definitely a hustler when it comes to these books.
No doubt about it. You got me out here doing my thing.
You have to. You have to. In your own backyard, right? Here's a bookstore over here. Here's, you know what I mean? Here's a venue over there. You have to find those places where you can position yourself. Hey, can I set up a table and do a book signing? Can we do a little publicity together? You know, cross-marketing. Schools. Hey, look, I have a personal story. I've been incarcerated. I'm out. I'm a writer now. I have a book. Can I tell my story to
these? I want to get him to all the colleges.
Yeah.
Actually, my vision for Pen and the Pen, I'm going to have like 10 good-looking guys, and they're going to get on a tour bus.
Well, you just need 9 more.
Yeah. We're going to put them on a tour bus, and we're going to send them to every independent store. And we're going to have the book clubs, because you know those book club ladies love them some male authors. And we're just going to send them around the country.
Well, you know, they closed the Barnes & Nobles, right?
They closed so many aren't surviving with Half-Price Bookstore and the fact that Amazon lets people resell the books and the e-book thing, you know. But you know what? I'm getting much bigger checks with my e-books than I am with my print books now.
You have to be everywhere, you know. You just
saving really well.
And we're saving trees, you know.
Yeah.
With the Kindle, we're saving the planet. So, hey, I don't care how it comes as long as it keeps coming.
Well, you know, in the old days, we were happy, you know, because people were carrying around laptops. You know, and we were like, wow, this is great, you know. Everybody's got a laptop, you say.
Hey, that old-fashioned, great, big 10-pound monitor.
Yeah, now it's a notebook, you know.
The one that I started on.
Yeah, and so, you know, this evolution of technology has been a big, big help for authors everywhere, worldwide. The cell phone, Androids, being able to, listen, audience, if you can't get the signal from our homepage in MP3 or Windows, well, just go to tune-in.com. You can get it there, all over the web. Beta, everyone has Artists First. It's incredible. We're linked everywhere.
I know you guys have blown up since I was on the first time.
Well, we have. Obviously.
You have really, really blown up.
We have. We have. And, you know, it's all content-driven today. You know, where am I going to hear an interview with Joan London? Commercial-free.
Yeah.
Or Ben Vereen or Dick Gregory or Jonathan Kent. Where am I going to hear these famous people? Look, who's coming up this Thursday on Artist First Radio. This is every day. We've got new people, Jacqueline Smith. Well, she's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, I mean, from Charlie's Angels, right? Doesn't that help? Isn't Jacqueline Smith supporting the arts and helping poetry, love letters, and helping Walking in Divine Health with Dr. James?
Hey,
now, you follow me?
Doing her thing.
She's supporting the arts and supporting authors such as yourself, because people are going to go there. They're going to look for her. They're going to see Artists First. They're going to come down here, and then they're going to oh, wow, look, and what are we listening to now?
Yeah.
You know? And who are these?
We have some heavyweights on here.
So, you know, they're supporting the arts. They're driving traffic to our network, and we have to do the good job of giving them content they want to listen to. Well, it's all in the quality of the guest. Willie Bruce, Kim Robinson, our guests, their website, powerful. We'll make sure we get Willie Bruce's up there, too. One more time, Kim, give us the new website for Willie Bruce.
www.williebrucejr, that's J-R. Not spelled out, junior.com.
That should be any day now.
Yeah, oh, that'll be super. And so we'll make sure we have it associated with this interview. Thanks for supporting the arts, being our guest. And now, audience,
Thank you for having me.
Here we are. Let's talk about the kings of credit. Walk us through, give us a glimpse, Willie, of the kings of credit. In a nutshell, tell us, what's going on here?
Okay, The Kings of Credit is a fictional story, right, first of all. And it's surrounding, like I say, it's a lot of elements involved in it. You have your ups and downs. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. It'll make you want some of the characters in this book diminished. You know, it's a really good story based on a guy that got out of prison, and he was working at an air conditioning company out here in the San Fernando Valley, right, which is my story. And the child support agency started garnishing his paycheck. So he gets desperate because he has six kids and a wife to take care of. So now he's just looking for any kind of scheme. So his friend, I have him as C-Dub in here, you know, comes up with a plan, and the plan doesn't work out. It's a actual robbery, and it goes bad. But
Chill, the main character, he gets away. You know, so 6 months later, you know, all of his crime partners go to jail. 6 months later, right, his brother-in-law, which is JoJo, and he's the true king of credit, right? He illegally cleans people's credit. You know, he had inside contacts in the credit bureaus, right? So, you know, he tells Chill, okay, look, man, you've been lounging around for 6 months. Now it's time to get busy. So he gives him the credit game, right? And from there, you know, all the riches come about. And but now JoJo happens to be a drug addict. He's hooked on rock cocaine. And, I mean, he does some real, he was a lovable character, but he does some real funny stuff. You know, you're going to just love his character, right? But the things he's doing is very illegal, right? So he's teaching Chill how to do this. So now Chill, you know, he learns the game and he runs with it, you know. And then at the very end, JoJo, you know, I don't want to get a story away, but JoJo dies and, you know, Chill's past haunts him. And he gets arrested for the robbery in the beginning of the movie.
Wow. And now this is going to continue in the next book.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It'll be a sequel to this one.
So when you're left, you're like, oh, man, when's the next one coming out?
Yes, sir. It's definitely a page turner. You know, this is my first interview right here, and I really have to get used to this, you know.
Oh, you're doing fine. I told Kim off air, I said, Willie won't have no problem whatsoever. And you don't. You're good at it. You're a natural.
Well, so, thank you. I'm no sooner or later I get there.
Are there female interests? Are there moments of violence? Do you cover lots of other topics in the book?
You know, the Kings of Credit has all the elements. You know, it's a love story. You have like like my wife in the book. Her name is Jen, right? The very lovable character, but she's like my mother was. She's a straight talker. She'll tell you how she feel about a situation, and she knows that Chill was going down the wrong path by dealing with some of the people he was dealing with, and she was staying on him, you know, telling him, you know, hey. You know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that because this is what's going to happen. You're either going to get murdered or you're going to spend the rest of your life in prison. And lo and behold, you know, she was right. Very intelligent woman. She's a character that you're absolutely going to fall in love with. And she's a mother. You know, she's not the outgoing type going to clubs every night. You know, her thing is all about...
To me, she hung in there with him throughout.
Yeah, she's definitely a mother. Her character is a lovable character up in there. And JoJo's wife, Lena, is a very funny character, you know, but you know, and she just happens to be the sister of Jen. When you read the book, I'm telling you, you're going to love it. I got some good reviews on it. Very good reviews, better than what I imagined.
Now, Willie, do you set the characters in a particular period of time?
Yes, sir. It takes place in the 90s up to it takes place in from the 90s to 2005, right in that era right there. You know, where you're dealing with a lot of flash and a lot of partying, a lot of alcohol, just people enjoying their life. You know, and having the money to do it—a carefree life, so to speak.
Are there details that the audience who live in the area might recognize?
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. You know, because it takes place in the San Fernando Valley, right? And it goes into Hollywood and Beverly Hills and Woodland Hills.
So those familiar with that geography, or perhaps they came from that area, you know, they might really find this a fascinating story, you know, something they can sort of visualize happening in their own backyard.
Right, because, you know, like some of the characters, I changed the names of all the characters, you know, to protect people, Right, but you know, I have streets and locations that people will recognize. Say, oh, I know where that's at. That's right down the street.
Yeah, and I believe that all of that gives really guts to a story, you know?
Right.
It's there. It's concrete. There it is. There's the road. That's it. Oh, yeah, I've been down there. I know, you know, that relatability, you know.
Without about it.
And,
you know?
And maybe it's not your hometown, but it's those that the way you describe the context of the storyline, it could be Detroit. It might be Cleveland. It might be some other town, but that's okay, you see.
Right. And then, you know, I talk about the county jail experience, and you know, I've done my time up in there in the California prison system, and a lot of guys that have been there of all different races, right, all different nationalities can relate to, because you know I tell it like it is.
Yeah, well, they have a library, so sign a copy and give them one.
Oh yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I would like to do that. I would really like to do that.
It's a great idea, and I'd be putting in as many prisons as possible. If they have a library.
I think the Gumbo is in a lot of different prisons.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure that the Kings of Credit will have to take a case and just send them to different prisons to our family. That'll take a whole case by itself.
I know so many people in the joint that stuck there for life. You know, so what I like to do is, I can recall in my phone book, I got a 19 that I stay in contact with, you know, and
wow.
Every now and then I try to send them some money or something for their commissary and stuff like that.
Hey, there's some stories there. There's some stories there. You're a writer. There's some stories there. You don't know where it will end up, you know.
Matter of fact, I have a friend. He went in 1984, right? They gave him 7 to life. Well, because of the budget and, you know, all the other things in California, and on top of that, he was a model inmate while he was in, right? He's been out now. They released him 2 months ago, right? And he has a guy that he's in contact with that has 32 novels that he's written. So, you know, I'm in communication with him right now. That's why I want to blow Kim's publishing through the roof.
And I'm ready.
We're definitely going to have a lot of work for
her. Yeah. We're going to put some other people to work, too. We're going to create jobs, because typing out those pages and pages and pages of yellow papers.
Yeah, stationery.
We're going to pay some other people to do it, you know, find some...
No, you're not. No.
To make extra money.
No, no, no. Here's what you'll do, sister. You go down to the judge. And you say you got some young folks that are that need some discipline.
That are on that road.
Uh-huh. I got a job for them. They can they can intern with me, and they can do
okay.
So many hours
good
of community
idea.
Service
and make a little money too.
And make a little and learn something. Okay.
Yeah. And that is a good idea.
And you know, not only that, and what are they going to be learning? Well, they're going to be learning about what it's like and what it
where they're headed.
Uh-huh. That's
where
right.
Where they're headed to, and maybe it'll divert them.
Amen. Amen. Say, the Lord works in mysterious ways.
Does.
Just
that.
Go down there to the judge and let them know what you got cooking, and you can take an intern and they learn, and they can do some typing.
Matter
and some
of fact,
work.
I know a couple of judges. I'll just give them a call.
That's right. You know, we did this at Artist First Radio in 1997, 98.
Oh, really?
The internet was new in terms of internet streaming. You had to have a lot of muscle in your computer to take internet radio streaming, and we assisted Mount Union College, now Mount Union University, in their internet radio and created a working manual to train college students. And that's what we do today. We intern.
Are you still looking for people to do shows? Because I know when I first did the show, Scott Z kept trying to talk me into doing the radio show. And
I know Dr. Maxine Thompson. I think she's our oldest show now.
She's from where I'm from, Los Angeles.
Yeah, she's incredible. What a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And she got an honorary doctorate because of her work. So, you know, and she tells me, Tony says, it opens doors I never thought I could go through. You know, so having your radio show, it really can be a blessing. It can really do
Willie,
a lot.
Well, Willie, you might want to think about doing a radio show.
Yeah. So,
well, I have to get used to this first. I'll tell you, I'm sitting here on pins and needles. This is the first time, well, actually, when I came home in 2010, Kim called me and gave me a number and said, call this radio station. She actually put me on the spot. I didn't know that I was calling a radio station, right? And the next thing I know, I'm on the air. The guy asked me questions. So, you know, maybe when I perfect this, then we'll talk about that.
You're doing great, believe me, okay? It's okay.
Thank you.
Having a co-host, that helps, see?
Oh, without a doubt. Thank you, Kim.
And having guests.
Time that I'm going to co-host. I'm not holding his hand no more. He on his own after this. Also, I also want to make sure that everybody knows to get out in L.A. and at the
Convention
Center. At the Los Angeles Black Book Expo. He will be there. It will be his first time out the gate doing a book signing.
When?
It's August the
11th.
From 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at the Los Angeles Convention Center.
Okay, and you'll be able to get your autograph copied of the Kings of Credit.
Los Angeles Black Book Expo.
Right, and Willie looks much better in person. Willie looks better in person, okay?
Oh, without a doubt.
All right.
Hey,
and
we already
know that Kim's beautiful. There's no, I mean.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
I can't wait until tomorrow.
Why?
Because I get better looking every day.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's why every day is a gift. It's a present from God.
Yeah.
Okay. So you go look in the mirror and say,
yeah,
that's what
my mother used to say. You know, she was a very pretty woman, very beautiful.
But that event got started with a friend of mine, Charles Chapman, and I just want to shout out to him. I know he's been an artist first, too, and he's the co-founder of the Los Angeles Black Book Expo. And then we got to get him into the L.A. Times Book Expo, you know, and eventually maybe we'll get to New York, you know.
Well, get him back here, you know, spread the word. That's how this guerrilla marketing works, you know.
We talked to Kim
and Bruce and Willie Bruce, and next thing you know, they tell 10 people, and then we've got authors calling, and our library just gets bigger and bigger.
Right, word of mouth.
Every time I come up with a new author, this is where they got to break in at.
I'll break them in.
Break in.
I'll give them a run for their money.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Well, you know, with authors, I love them because you're passionate about what you're writing about. You know your material inside and out. You've lived with the characters for a while. And so that makes the process so much fun.
They just sit around talking to me.
They do, you know, in your dreams. That's where you're.
Shut up, please.
Right.
Give me a minute.
You know, what happened? Oh, the other night I told my wife, in the morning I got up to make coffee, and I said, boy, I had an audience with the Pope last night.
Wow.
And she said, well, what do you mean? I says, yeah, but the problem was it was the one that's living now, not John Paul. That was kind of weird,
maybe,
you know.
Maybe your next person that's going to come on the show.
Could be. Yeah, I should have you know, I know. And
in the ruin of gumbo, I had an aunt Sadie, and she kept writing to the Pope. And one day the Pope showed up at her church looking for her.
Wow.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember.
He wrote so many letters that the Pope actually came from to visit in America from the Vatican, and he came to her church. And
I remember Sadie saying,
"Yeah."
Hey, can I digress for just 1 second? Hey, audience, you're listening with Willie Bruce, Kim Robinson, Tony Kaye, Authors First on the Artist First Radio Network, artistfirst.com. If you scroll down the homepage, you'll see their name, far right-hand column. But in the center, you'll see an interview with Ben Vereen. Ben Vereen, in this interview, talks about his relationship with Michael Jackson.
Wow.
And it's a powerful story. So if you haven't heard this interview with Ben Vereen, you need to do not right
I
now. You have to wait until
time.
We're done. But sometime, listen to that show. It was very, mm-hmm. very, very well done by G.L. Henderson. So, audience, thanks for joining the network, artistfirst.com, for supporting the arts, for looking at our homepage regularly, and, of course, for sponsoring and buying the books of our authors, such as Willie Bruce and Kim Robinson. This process is evolving for you too. You're, you know, moving from I'm an author, I'm just happy to write my stuff, to I'd like to help other authors. I want to have a publishing company. I want to focus on inmates who have stories that I'd like to tell. This is becoming a really building a business
exactly.
together. I mean, this is becoming your dreams are growing around what started off as a little seed of a story.
Yeah. That's how God does it. He takes a little mustard seed, and he just grows it.
So our time is running out.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe it?
No. I know.
Our time is running out. So before I let you go, honestly, anyone out there on planet Earth, either one of you would like to say hello to, any closing remarks, something we should have covered, perhaps, and didn't.
Hey, all of my family, including my grandmother, my great-grandmother, who have passed on, and my Uncle Cricket, and my family that's still alive today, thanks for praying for me, because I had a praying family, and I gave them plenty to pray about.
The words of Kim Robinson and Willie Bruce. Any closing remarks or special thanks you'd like to give?
To everyone listening, I'd like to say God bless you, and thank you for just spending the time, because you could have changed the channel. You know, I'd like to thank you for just sticking with us, and may your families and everybody that you love and care be taken well care of, you know, and stay in church. It works, you know, and everybody that's supporting me, my wife, you know, my family, you know, I'd just like to say I love you all. And thank you very much.